Good morning, ladies. How are we feeling this morning? Oh, good. Are you ready for this? Thank you. So we are going to have the positive women, as how the other lady also was presenting it, moving policy into action. And I'm going to introduce you to the panelists. We've got Dr. Alice Welben from the International Community of Women Living with HIV, and she will be leading us on the women's leadership topic. We've got Moni Penny from Cambodia, and which organization, Moni Penny? Cambodian Community of People Living with HIV. We've got Shari Magolis, and she's from the Voices of Positive Women, and she will be leading us on the stigma and discrimination. And we've got Kandrika Palita Ratri from Indonesian Red Cross. She will be leading us with economic security and also young positive women. And we've got Ruth Mary Linares Hildago. She's from the America Association de Mujeres en Red Impulsando Calidad y Salud. And ICW as well. Yeah. And she's also ICW. And she'll be leading us on access to affordable health care and treatment that enables. Okay, I'm going to start with Dr. Alice Welben. She's going to take the floor and lead us on the women's leadership. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Buenos dias. Bonjour. Habari asabui. Good morning. As someone who's been in the exceptionally privileged position of being a former chair of ICW, I'm aware that some look upon me as a leader. But you're no good as a leader unless you're also creating a good path with clear markings for others to travel along it safely with you. So the word leader is one for me which raises both a sense of vision and passion and a simultaneous huge sense of responsibility and stress. That stress feels especially strong when you find yourself the lone voice at a meeting to be speaking out about positive women's rights, as so many of us here at this conference have often experienced. It's often incredibly hard to keep your calm as you feel that heavy responsibility, just you, with the utter ridiculous nonsense of representing 20 million HIV-positive women and their rights, when huge decisions are being made about our lives in just a few hours that you know just won't work for us. So this mantle of leadership then weighs extremely heavily on your shoulders. But I've found ICW a massive source of comfort in that wilderness, an oasis of mutual support and recharging for the soul. I believe that there are seeds of leadership in all of us as women. But as HIV-positive women, I think we've often had to dig particularly deep into our psyches to rediscover those seeds of leadership and to re-nurture them within us. For me, like so many of us, discovering that I'm HIV positive was the most shattering blow to my self-esteem. And this diagnosis is often connected with various other traumas. That process of redefining ourselves that we all have to go through, often whilst also trying to hold a family together, is a unique experience. Of course, leaders ought to be fit and well, but many of us are expected to lead even though we're dealing with constant physical, sexual, mental, and financial problems and stigma, all connected somehow to our diagnosis. In many ways, if we manage to get through it, I think many of us discover that we do have inner strengths that we have no idea we possessed. but we go on needing each other to pick us up when we're down, support us on our journeys when we're beaten back, and to encourage us once more to believe in ourselves as women with full rights to be here in this world and to engage as full equals with the rest of the planet. I remember so many women, both alive and now dead, who've done this for me over the past 15 years, whose names would take all day to share with you. But there was one particular woman whose spirit unites us all here. Brigitte Siamalevwe, my twin, just 5 days younger than me, YWCA member in Zambia and ICW member. She would surely have been a bright star of this conference if she hadn't died 4 years ago. It was Brigitte who reminded us all that she isn't a statistic, that she first and foremost is a woman. Brigitte, we all salute you. There were and are so many incredibly special women, women who've died, but who are with us here still in spirit on this journey. I'd like to hope that what leadership I might have been able to offer anyone is to share some of that love that those many women have shown me through their kindness and care, their belief in me, their nurturing of me. I think as a movement, we owe it to us all to rescue one another from the horrors of an HIV diagnosis and to share what others have given us with those around us. I think also as a movement, our greatest challenge is to support young positive women as they find and develop the leadership which they have in them too. I was already nearly 34 when I was diagnosed, with 2 children already, a career, a loving and supportive partner, and yet still I found that diagnosis so awful. So I can't begin to imagine what it's like for young women to discover that they're positive. And I hope we'll all find it in us to nurture the leadership in young, positive women, especially as they grow to accommodate their new identities. So that's what true leadership is about for me, true intention to share happiness with others and to seek to end all suffering. If the World YWCA and ICW together can manage to do a bit of that through this conference, and take this home with us to all our communities around the world, then I think we're really creating together that firm path of good leadership for us all to travel along safely together. Thank you.
True leadership indeed. Thank you, Dr. Alice Wolven. I'm going to ask Kandrina Pilataraiti to take the podium and lead us in the economic security and young positive women. Thank you.
Marriott and women, showing that increasing the number of young women has been infected at HIV/AIDS from their husband who already passed away, and they're becoming a widow. Based on that situation, the number of unincoming young women have increased, which is they have to fulfill their niche. People still have their own stigma that positive women are have a moral behavior. It makes positive women are difficult to have an income to fulfill their needs. To self-empowerment and have a quality of life, we have to do the income generating activities and then the life skill training and then individual or group skill building. When we already got a research, we have to developing support group for positive women, identifying kind of income generating activity, initiate for funding resource, promotion and sustainability. And we have to do activities to contribute on HIV/AIDS issues, such as we have to do like a close meeting in our support group hospital visit, home visit, body system, attends the various training which is conducted by other institutions, and then the advocacy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kandrina. What encouraging words. I would like to ask Ruth Marie Linares Hildago to lead us with access to health, to affordable health care and treatment. Yes, you can put your earphones because it's going to be in Spanish. Thank you.
Ahora sí. Ah, okay. Okay. Bueno, hola a todas. Un placer para mí estar en esta mesa con mujeres líderes tan importantes y tan significativas en el camino y en la lucha del VIH-SIDA. Como las compañeras que están a mi lado. Mi tema o el tema que me corresponde desarrollar es de la política pasando a la acción. Bueno, preparamos una pequeña presentación que espero esté lista pronto. Y en el tema de la política pasando a la acción, me toca desarrollar qué sistemas se necesitan ser puestos en marcha para que las mujeres positivas podamos tener acceso al tratamiento y al cuidado médico que nos permita tener una vida saludable y tener vidas más productivas. En ese sentido, yo quisiera mencionar la importancia de las alianzas estratégicas. Esta actividad es un ejemplo de ello. Estamos reunidas varias organizaciones, mujeres líderes representando organizaciones de todo el mundo para tratar de que todas con nuestro ejemplo, con nuestro conocimiento podamos apoyarnos unas a otras. Yo creo que eso es el mejor ejemplo de pasar de la política a la acción. Quisimos anotarlo por una vida plena para las mujeres porque a partir de la experiencia de ICW y en mi pueblo, en mi país, Costa Rica, de la Asociación Américas, nos hemos dado cuenta que es necesario actuar como líderes por una vida plena para todas las mujeres. Creemos en que, como ya está indicado en las metas del milenio, en que una de las formas fundamentales para esto es el acceso a la salud sexual y reproductiva. La ICW Latina es una red internacional de mujeres dirigida por y para mujeres que viven con VIH. En nuestra visión tenemos el involucramiento, el acceso a cuidados y tratamiento y el disfrute de todos los derechos sexuales y reproductivos. En este sentido es que quisimos enfocar nuestra acción precisamente en esto. En las metas del milenio también nos dicen que el acceso a la salud sexual y reproductiva y a la planificación familiar es necesaria. Por eso creemos que todos los países deberían o deben esforzarse para que todas las personas alcancen los servicios de salud sexual y reproductiva a más tardar para el 2015. Desde ICW Latina proponemos es necesaria la puesta en marcha de programas efectivos y específicos de salud sexual y reproductiva para las mujeres viviendo con VIH, para las mujeres embarazadas, las niñas, las jóvenes y las adolescentes, y los otros grupos vulnerables. En las metas del milenio también nos hablan de aumentar el acceso de las mujeres y adolescentes a una amplia gama de información sobre salud sexual y reproductiva. Desde ICW Latina proponemos impulsar la participación de las mujeres viviendo con VIH en la formación de políticas de ejecución y evaluación de programas sobre salud sexual y reproductiva, articulando lógicamente con el Estado. Entre nuestros derechos como personas viviendo con VIH, nos hablan que tenemos derecho a la información sobre el conocimiento del tratamiento, que tenemos derecho al acceso universal a tratamiento y a medicamentos de calidad comprobada, al involucramiento de todas las personas viviendo con VIH en la toma de decisión. Esto por el principio MIPA. Nos hablan también de los derechos a la mejor manera de cuestionar el estigma y de la discriminación. Esto a través de la promoción de la solidaridad con las personas que vivimos con VIH, así como también nuestra participación en todos los niveles de la toma de decisiones. Desde ICW Latina proponemos incluir la educación sobre VIH-Sida y salud sexual y reproductiva en los primeros años de escolarización. Proponemos una mayor educación y capacitación para empleados del sistema sanitario y sectores públicos y privados. Proponemos adaptar los servicios de salud para que resulten amigables a las mujeres. Proponemos campañas publicitarias de sensibilización acerca de la salud sexual y reproductiva de todas las mujeres que vivimos con VIH. Proponemos también cambiar todas aquellas leyes que discriminen a las personas que vivimos con VIH, especialmente a las mujeres, y garantizar la promoción e implementación de la CEDAW y la Plataforma de Acción de Beijing en todos los países. De esta manera, creo que podemos concluir en que la única forma de lograr concretar estas medidas es con la práctica de la horizontalidad, la transparencia y la democratización, que juntos a la decisión política de nuestros gobiernos consolide una política de Estado estratégica. Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, Ruth. What powerful words. I think we really need to include all positive women for us to achieve our goals. Thank you. I'm going to ask Moni Penny, and she's going to lead us on advocacy on gender equality. Inequality.
So, good morning. Actually, about 40% of the people living with HIV/AIDS in my country, in Cambodia, are women. And the concern of women in the countries are not being fully addressed. And women, they face a very, very high discrimination in, because of the gender inequality. So the women, they could not, they had a very poor access to healthcare, to sexual and domestic violence. And because of the traditional norms, the women are not encouraged to participate as the leader, even at the community level and at the national level. How are we going to address that issue as the women living with HIV/AIDS? Earlier this year, the women living with HIV/AIDS, we had formed the Cambodian community of women living with HIV/AIDS in order to respond this issue and also to advocate for the greater leadership or participation of the women in at the both community and at the national level. So there are some activities that have been taking place. One is the community dialogue activities where we bring the women, both negative and positive, together, come to talk, to discuss what is the issues of the women in their own community. And also let them to find out what is the solution. Because we could not rely on someone to advocate for us, or we could not expect someone to address our issue. In order to make it more effectively in, and also to get the support from the local authority, we also include the community leader, both men and women. So to raise their awareness amongst the women issue, as well as to bring their attention to to be considered on the women issue. And of course, capacity building for the women living with HIV/AIDS is very important because the women in my country, they have a very, very low educational background, and sometimes even they go to speak in their own village, they feel not confident to talk about their own issues because they are afraid of someone will judge them, or they fear that the idea is not right. So we provide them some capacity building, include negotiation, advocacy, and communication, and so on. And another important thing is that the income generating activity. So we provide the income generating to the women so they can make income to support their family, because majority of them are widow and they have many children that rely on them. Another way is to advocate for the women issue, we use the media people. We call a media campaign. Through this activity, we conduct the training with the media and discuss with the media to what is the role of the media and how could they can provide support to the women living with HIV/AIDS to advocate on behalf of our issues. And also the people who are working at the parliamentary body. But what is the challenge that we are facing right now? Actually, we try to the women. So far, we do not have any voice, any representative at the community level and also at the national level. So when we come, women think that okay, it's time for us to stand up to advocate for our rights, to demand for our rights, we face a lot of challenge. The challenge that we are facing is with the other NGOs. They came to us and asked and talked to our donors and talked to us why you have created the Cambodian community of women living with HIV/AIDS. Why are you doing the community dialogue in your own society? Because the other people and why do you provide care and support to the women living with HIV/AIDS? Because all those kind of activities we've been doing that. So they think that the work that we are doing is overlapped to others. And recently one of the international NGOs, they came to me when I tried to consult with them what is the best way that we can work with the media. They said, listen, Moni, now we are working with the media. We conduct the meeting, the workshop with the media. Why you want to work with the media people? And then I said, listen, so far with the women living with HIV/AIDS from Cambodia think that international NGOs, they speak on behalf of us. But this is the gap, this is the point that we feel is not yet addressed. Because the issues of women is still there. And women, they feel not confident to speak, to advocate for our rights. So it's time for us to lead. So we want to work with the media people, and we want to train the positive people to be the journalists so they can write a beautiful article about our rights. And sorry, one more. And the last point is we also get a challenge with the government. With the government, they ask us the same questions. Okay, yes, one. They ask us the same question, and when we try, you know, to be participate at the national level, they said shut up. So this is all the challenge that we are facing.
Thank you very much, Monica. I'm really sorry to cut you short because our time is very limited. But it's very important because as women living with HIV, I think we should be our own advocates because no one is going to advocate for us for these gender inequalities. So I'm going to ask Shari to lead us on the stigma and discrimination. Thank you.
Hello?
No.
Hello? Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. Bienvenue, buenos dias, jumbo, all of these things. Okay, my name is Sherry and I'm from Canada. I've been living with HIV for 15 years and I'm also the mother of a positive child. I want to talk to you about stigma and discrimination this morning. And I just before I do that, I want to point out that stigma is really just an idea. It's a thought, but discrimination is an action. So I like to separate those in some ways. While they go hand in hand, I think it's very important that we clarify that. And I also believe that stigma and discrimination, particularly stigma, affects women well from before the testing process in HIV right up until the day we die with HIV. From the beginning, we fear accessing testing because we may then have to disclose to our partners. Then we also may have to go to a space that discloses us as HIV positive. When we go to access treatment, some of us don't access treatment because treatment is offered to us in places where we are stigmatized. We're known to be HIV positive when we go into those clinics, especially in rural areas. And this happens around the world. Even in Canada, where I live, we have rural areas where there's only one access point for things like treatment and testing. So people know when you walk in the door. But in the beginning of HIV, we feared HIV itself because we really didn't know what it was. For many, we had no cure, we had no treatment. Some said it was a hex, some said we were bewitched, some said it was a curse from God. But we knew, of course, that these weren't true. Now we know how HIV is spread. We know the cause of HIV infection. So why are we still having stigma and discrimination? Well, I would say, and this is, I'm really stealing, but I think it's important, that stigma is not really now about HIV any longer. It's really about something else. And I think it's about a few things. I think it's about how HIV is transmitted. It's transmitted through sex, through drugs. These things are taboos in our society and in our communities, things that we're not supposed to talk about. And also I would say that... I missed something here. It's really about keeping us in the gender roles that have been assigned to us by men. And I think Moni actually brought up a lot of those points when she spoke about how difficult it is for many women in their communities to speak even to their own homes, in their own families. How could we even consider to be able to speaking up for ourselves? But we cannot let this bring us down. We must allow this stigma and discrimination to motivate us as a community of women living with HIV. Now, we've heard from panelists that not all of us have, not necessarily the skills, because many of us have the skills and the desire to speak out, but we don't have an environment that allows us to do so or is safe for us to do so. So for those of us who can, we must move forward. For those of us who can, we must take a seat at the table everywhere we can. And for those of us who cannot, what happens with those of us who cannot? We must show leadership. We must show mentorship. Those who can must show leadership and must show mentorship. We must bring our sisters along. We must speak with our sisters and ask them, what are your issues in your country? What should we be advocating for when you cannot speak for yourself? But as I said, Moni mentioned many of the reasons women may not be able to speak up for themselves. But truly, I believe, until we can battle gender inequity, until we can give women a free voice, until we can speak freely about sex, about drug use, about all of the types of taboos in our communities, it will be very difficult to stem stigma and discrimination. So I say to you and I put to you that stigma, yes, it's about HIV, but it's more than HIV. And that's about it for me today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shari. Yes, it's true. Stigma is connected to taboos in our societies, and we cannot let that bring us down as women living with HIV. And we must also bring those women who cannot talk on board by empowering them also to come in and join us to talk about stigma and discrimination, because we want to see the eradication of it. I'm going to give Elizabeth Akinyi. I'm also introducing her. She's the International Community of Women Living with HIV in Kenya, and she's going to lead us on the human rights issue of positive women, and also on sexual reproductive health and rights of young positive women. Thank you, Elizabeth, for coming. Is it okay now? Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Okay, well, he's busy with the equipment. I would like to introduce you again to Elizabeth Akinyi. She is from the National Empowerment Network of People Living with HIV and AIDS in Kenya, in short, NEPAC. I would like to apologize. She came a bit late because she had some commitments. And she is also going to be speaking on advocacy on gender inequality. And I would like her to take over, and then afterwards we go to Elizabeth. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sorry to have come in late. It's a typical way of being the host. I'm in Violeta Mbwavi and not Elizabeth Akinyi. I'm the national coordinator of NEPHAC. I would like to talk about positive women moving policy into action, challenges around advocacy on gender inequality the positive women are faced with. My colleague Moni had mentioned about it, but I just think I want to tease out just a few quick things to add on that. For me, I strongly think the challenges HIV positive women and women in general face, in as much as it is positive in itself, is routine testing in antenatal clinics. I find it to be biased because men are not part and parcel of this process, and testing in itself is not an easy encounter based on the stigma around HIV and AIDS. The women who test positive are faced with the burden of knowing their status. Routine, mark you, routine. This is not voluntary. So they are forced to know their status, and within a short time, they are given the burden of disclosing their status to their partners. So they have the second burden of putting, disclosing their status to their partners, husbands, partners, and name it. So women are also under pressure, those who turn positive, and I find that to be a gender inequality. And it's such a challenge because everybody says women are easy to go to health services, women are easy to seek health services, women are easy to get. I just find that to be difficult. And we've tried to make people understand why it's important to bring men on board, but because men are so hard to seek services, people always rubbish the pressure on men, and I find that to be inequality. Criminalization. If you look at the Kenyan laws right now, the HIV and AIDS Control Bill was passed last year, 2006, and it allows criminalization of a partner who is not notifying their partner. I find this clause to be unequal to women because in reality and practicality, it's women who know their status much earlier than men, basically through antenatal clinics. And what happens if the law is pushing medical health workers to disclose this status to their partners, and in fact the same act is allowing doctors to tell suspecting partners that your partner is HIV positive, The people who are going to be victimized in this sense, this is an act in Kenya, are majorly women. Because men will never be forced to go to hospitals. Men will never be forced to know their HIV status. Health-seeking behaviors. In Kenya, we have realized that men are using their physical strength to snatch drugs from their husbands because they don't even, from their wives, because they don't even go to hospitals. Men who are known to be HIV positive. So a woman comes home with drugs, but because a man is afraid to go to the hospital, starts sharing the drugs the woman brought, and this affects adherence. The economical aspect, men who are rich know their HIV status and they never tell their partners. So they start getting medication from public institutions, and therefore the men who are economically dependent on, the women who are economically dependent on men continue suffering. And it's such a challenge because women are never seen to be talking serious things. Things are never taken seriously. Inheritance of property. Trust me, while inheritance of property for women in general is still a major issue, it's much a bigger issue for HIV-positive women. Why? The community feel, after all, they are dying, so they don't have a right even to inherit in the first place. We do have the laws that are allowing wives and partners to inherit properties of their partners. I know it is still a challenge for any other woman, but it's such a major challenge for an HIV-positive woman because what's the point? That's the argument. What's the point of allowing her to inherit property if she's also on the way soonest, according to them, to death? I want to also say that HIV and AIDS is still viewed as a woman problem. The burden of care is left to women. I also want you to know that in as much as all women are carrying the burden of HIV and AIDS, caring for orphans, caring for their husbands, caring for their relatives, the HIV-positive women are carrying, I don't know if it is triple, quadruple, name it, burden. Why? Nobody even sympathizes. They are HIV-positive in the first place. So the burden the woman carries, the HIV-positive woman has it, in fact, double. She even forgets that she's sick occasionally. She forgets that she's supposed to take care of herself. She continues on the social responsibilities of a woman to take care of others first. I've provided suggested solutions as well, because I was requested to provide that. For me, I'm rooting for we need to aggressively promote couple counseling and testing. How practical that is going to be, I don't know, but I highly propose that. Again, if couples are very difficult to come, we need to find a way. I don't know how this is going to happen, but we need to find a way for routine testing for men, if possible. Because it seems to be automatic for routine testing for women. We've got to find a way of routine testing for men. And that is only when we are going to be gender sensitive around these issues. We need to revise the HIV and AIDS Prevention and Control Bill in Kenyan context to be fair to both women and the poor. This bill is actually not favorable to women, neither is it favorable to the poor. The rich people will always ride around it, they will always get confidential testing, and nobody will ever know their results. We need to sensitize men to understand their role in the fight against HIV and AIDS. We need to promote deeper, meaningful involvement of people living with HIV and AIDS at all levels in society to encourage positive living and change of negative attitudes. We need to introduce gender as a subject in primary schools. We have a Swahili saying in Kenya, or in those who speak Swahili, mtoto umleavyo, ndivyo akuavyo. The English will say, it's not easy to teach an old dog new tricks. So if we want people to know what gender means, we need to start it at a very low age. We need to disseminate widely if there are any policies in our countries. In Kenya, we have the Sex Offence Act and the HIV and Control Bill. That is only when communities will know their rights. But putting these bills in our parliaments and on shelves and in government printers is not a solution. Providing the bills is not a solution. Disseminating it is a solution. Women and marginalized groups' representation in our parliaments has to increase. This is where laws and policies are made which impact on us. And I want to repeat, nothing for us without us. Thank you.
Thank you indeed, Nkiolata, and quite thought-provoking. Thank you. I'm going to ask Elizabeth to take over now.
Thank you. My name is Elizabeth Akinyi from ICW, and I'm going to take you through sexual reproductive health and rights of women living with HIV and AIDS. Definition: what are sexual and reproductive health and rights? Sexual health. It includes reproductive health as well as healthy sexual development, equitable and responsible relationships. It includes sexual fulfillment, freedom from illness, disease, disability, violence, and other harmful practices related to sexuality. Sexual rights are the rights of all people to decide freely and responsibly on all aspects of their sexuality, including protecting and promoting their sexual health, be free from discrimination, coercion, or violence in their sexual lives and in all sexual decisions, expect, respect, and demand equality, full consent, mutual respect, and shared responsibility in sexual relationships. Reproductive health is a complete physical, mental, and social well-being in all matters related to the reproductive system, including a satisfying and safe sex life, capacity to have children, and freedom to decide if and when and how often to do so. Reproductive rights are the rights of couples and individuals to decide freely and responsibly the number and spacing of their children, to have the information, education, and means to do so. The right to attain the highest standard of sexual and reproductive health and allow one to make informed decisions about reproduction free of discrimination, coercion, and violence. I just brought something about reproductive care, where we're going to include at minimum family planning service infants, treatment for reproductive tract infection and sexually transmitted diseases, safe abortion services where legal and management of abortion-related complications, prevention and treatment is appropriately administered. Reproductive care should include information, education, and counseling on infertility, human sexuality, reproductive health, and responsible parenting and discouragement of any harmful practices. If additional services such as treatment of breast and reproductive system cancer and HIV/AIDS are not offered, a system should be in place to provide referrals for such basic and important care. Reproductive care. Reproductive care should include information, education, counseling on infertility. I think that's repeated. Let's go to the other one. Okay. Why sexual reproductive health rights issue for women and girls living with HIV and AIDS? Gender inequality in our society, inequality in our healthcare services and facility increases stigma and discrimination surrounding HIV and AIDS, and it is high time specific attention was given in relation to sexual reproductive health rights of HIV-positive women and girls. HIV transmission mainly occurs in sexual activity and relationships. HIV screening often happens within the context of sexual reproductive health, for instance, at the ANC and STI clinics, as we have been told by Violetta. Why sexual reproductive health issues for women and girls living with HIV and AIDS? HIV and AIDS are sexual reproductive health concerns. Violation of women and girls' sexual reproductive health right increases women's and girls' vulnerability to HIV infection, and HIV status increases women and girls' vulnerability to sexual reproductive rights violation. Violation of HIV-positive women and girls' sexual reproductive rights increase the impact of HIV on them. The concerns of HIV-positive women and girls within families and communities. Pressure from families and communities to have children or not to have children. Violence and fear of violence, including sexual violence. Inability to negotiate safe and pleasurable sex. Violation of women and girls' wider rights that leave them unable to protect their sexual reproductive health rights, such as widow inheritance and unequal employment opportunities. The sexual reproductive health right concerns of HIV women and girls within healthcare. Lack of access to treatment for sexual transmitted infections and reproductive tract infections, lack of regular sexual health screening, including pap smears, lack of access to prevention tools like female condoms. The sexual reproductive health concerns of HIV-positive women and girls within healthcare continues, lack of services to support safe conception, fear and judgmental attitudes of healthcare providers and workers, PMTCT programs that reinforce mothers as reproductive machines, pressure to have abortion, sterilization, or taking of contraceptives in order to access treatment, or withholding such services altogether. Recommendation thereof is scaling up treatment and testing must be accompanied by expansion of care and support services, sexual health checkups, including pap smears. HIV-positive women and girls, regardless of marital status, must have access to acceptable, available, affordable, and high-quality information that is non-judgmental, non-discriminatory, relevant, reliable, and tailored to their sexual and reproductive health needs that is based on privacy, confidentiality, and full informed choice and consent. Training for healthcare workers to understand the context in which HIV-positive women and girls make sexual reproductive decisions, including the impact of sexual and reproductive issues on health. Meaningful involvement of HIV women at all stages and levels of HIV and sexual reproductive health policy and practices. Different technologies and research should be facilitated for HIV-positive women and girls, such as availability of female condoms, human papilloma virus, vaccine, and microbicides. In conclusion, we need to link HIV and sexual reproductive health and rights programs because the potential is significant to curtail the AIDS epidemic. It also addresses the unmet need and right to HIV-positive women to sexual reproductive health services. Well over 75% of HIV infection are acquired sexually or through transmission during pregnancy, labor, delivery, or breastfeeding. The presence of STIs other than HIV increases the risk of HIV transmission. Aside from this obvious direct association, many of the same root causes affecting SRH status also affect HIV and AIDS. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. We are not going to waste any more time because we lost a bit of time when we had all the disruptions because of the electricity. I'm going to ask Ruth, I think she has got an announcement. And for those who came after I did the introductions, Ruth is from the International Community of Women Living with HIV, Latina. Thank you.
Hola. En este proceso de esta mañana que hemos hablado de la política pasando a la acción, creemos muy importante a partir de la comunidad internacional de mujeres que vivimos con VIH anunciar que nuestra secretaria regional este año fue nominada para el Premio Nobel de la Paz por la primera dama de la República de Honduras, doña Xiomara. Y este mismo año, precisamente, el primer ministro de Argentina volvió a nominar a Patricia Pérez, una mujer positiva desde hace más de 20 años, como Premio Nobel de la Paz para el 2008. Así que creemos que esto es de mucha alegría para nosotros, de mucho orgullo. Estamos iniciando la campaña La Paz, una oportunidad para detener el SIDA, y creemos que todas las mujeres que vivimos con VIH tenemos una representación muy importante, muy significativa en la imagen de nuestra compañera líder Patricia Pérez. Así que creímos importante en esa mañana anunciarlo nuevamente que ustedes... Ahora sí, creemos muy importante que ustedes puedan ser esas voces que orgullosamente repliquen esta noticia, porque llegar a este nivel significa que efectivamente estamos pasando de la política a la acción y que las mujeres llevamos un liderazgo interno, como lo reconocía nuestra compañera Alice, que nos hace llegar mucho más allá de lo que la sociedad y nuestras comunidades nos han permitido. O sea que nosotras podemos
aprovechar este momento histórico para llevar adelante nuestra campaña de la paz, una oportunidad para detener el SIDA y decirle al mundo entero que efectivamente las mujeres que vivimos con VIH podemos seguir adelante. Como dijo nuestra compañera, nada para nosotros sin nosotras. Gracias.
Thank you very much. To conclude from the panelists, I'm going to ask Alison to just be very briefly and give us a short, what do you call it?
Okay, here are some very quick, brief suggestions, practical suggestions for taking our partnership, YWCA and ICW, and all the positive women's networks around the world, to take this together forward beyond this conference. For instance, YWCA could make all positive women in its membership feel safe to disclose their status within the YWCA. And ICW and local positive women's networks could help to train YWCA in order to achieve this. Another suggestion. Maybe YWCA and local positive women's groups could provide safe voluntary counseling and testing and sexual and reproductive rights education centres and peer support groups for women in the YWCA centres around the world where they don't already exist or aren't confidential or good enough. Another suggestion, maybe YWCA and positive women's groups could encourage the YMCA and positive men's groups to create similar testing and support centres for men to spread the load of testing and reduce the current burden of testing and of care on women. Another suggestion, YWCA could provide space in its meeting halls for positive women to meet and talk and build their capacities for positive women's activism. Another, maybe YWCA members who are prominent businesswomen or professional women or theologians could persuade their own professions to hire, retain, and promote positive women in their workforce so as to send out a clear message that being an active member of ICW is just as much a plus on your CV as being an active member of YWCA. And last but not least, and I'm sure you have many other suggestions, so these are just a few, ICW welcomes all YWCA members who are HIV positive to join us. And ICW members could join YWCA if you'll have us, and develop joint initiatives in all our countries so that we can all move forward together in this great partnership which we're beginning here. Thank you so much, and please think of lots of other suggestions that you can take forward in your own countries, YWCA members and ICW members together, and everybody else who's here also. Every single country has HIV. We're all affected by this. If we can work together in our own countries in partnership, we can do great things together. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. I've got one announcement to be made by Lisa from YWCA.
Thank you very much. There are a number of announcements for the remainder of today. The first one, in the Sekone during the break, there is a play by children on female genital mutilation. So that's lunchtime today in the Sekone. If there is anyone in this room from the YWCAs of Tanzania, Uganda, Malawi, Congo Brazzaville, or Botswana, you are invited to a reception today hosted by the World YWCA and PNG at lunchtime, that is 12:30 today, in the amphitheatre, which will include lunch and will be exploring the issue of safe drinking water in communities. Please, can those members come along? The next announcement is the special guest speaker at the gala dinner tonight at 6:30, which will take place in the plenary hall, will be Her Excellency Honourable Phumzile Malambo Nakhura, Deputy President of South Africa. The doors will be open at 6 p.m. There will also be music and dancing. The shuttle buses will take people back to their respective hotels from 10 p.m. The dress code is formal or evening wear. And I understand you must have your invitation with you, otherwise you will not get entry. The final announcement is that walkers, for those participating in the workshops that are taking place at the Hilton or the 680 Hotel, will meet you at the entrance or registration area of the KICC at 2 p.m. today. The walkers will also be responsible for taking participants back to the KICC after the workshops for the gala dinner. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. I would like now to take this opportunity, even though we've got about 15 minutes, for questions and answers. And please, say your name, and then if you can say, direct the question to one of the speakers. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Esther from Namibia. I wanted to find out about what do we do about the women that are in prison, because they are left out. I haven't heard anybody speaking about the women that are in prison. Are they also getting the same access to what is implemented now, or to every other woman that's is outside? I just want to know about the women in prison, please. That's all.
Hello. Thank you for asking that question. Certainly, women who are incarcerated or in prison are one of the most vulnerable communities of women living with HIV, particularly those who are currently on treatment. First of all, we must say that the rules don't apply the same in every country. Every country, every region is going to have different things going on for women in prison. But what the issues are mandatory testing upon entry into prison for many women. And the other issues are inconsistent access to medications for women who are in prison or in transition out of prison. So these are huge issues. We're certainly in Canada taking these issues on. We have a prisoners' aid support network who we partner with Voices of Positive Women, and we're trying to. It's very difficult because in some countries prisons are both local, regional, and federal levels of incarceration. So it has to be approached at all of those levels, and we have to be able to have a seat at the table with these types of stakeholders making these decisions. But I would suggest that those are probably the largest issues concerning women who are living in prison now.
Good morning. I'm Zina from South Africa. In our country, witchcraft is still a taboo.
I am from South Africa. I was saying, in my country, witchcraft is still a taboo. I want to know about the women who are their husband are dead. You find that their mother-in-law, they chase them out of the house, taking all the asset. They usually blame the women that they've bewitched their husband. And you find that maybe the husband is the one who came with the disease in the house, but they will never agree that is the husband who infected the women.
Okay.
I'm, you know, that's because of reasons of like privilege or access or language barriers or education, things like that. And I'm curious about how ICW and organizations like that maintain accountability with all of their members, especially like, you know, women in prisons, women with mental health issues, transgender women who we haven't really heard anything about over the last few days. Can you tell us about that? Anyway.
Thanks very much, Nana, for asking that question. And it's such a critical question, such an important question. For instance, what is so difficult is, you know, I'm very fortunate. I've been able to do as much public speaking and work with ICW as I do because my husband supports me and pays for me because the work that I've been doing is voluntary. There are very, very few jobs out there for positive women to do this public advocacy work. And we're all doing it. There are very few jobs. Those who are in jobs are doing fantastic work, like Inviolata, like Elizabeth, like Shari. I think all of you on this platform are in paid jobs, and they are doing brilliant work. But what is so difficult... Is it not true? Okay, sorry, Ruth isn't... Ruth is a volunteer as well, and this is what's so incredibly difficult. How do you find the time, if you have got a job, particularly if you're a young woman, to explain to your employers or to your academic place, actually, I'm an activist with ICW? Because if you're an activist with YWCA, it often looks really great on your CV, but if you're an activist for ICW, not only do you just not want to put it on your CV, but you're in danger of losing your job. And so ICW has a constant, constant problem of trying to find new, young, positive women and positive women from different groups to come forward, whether they're injecting drug users, whether they're women who are in prison, incarcerated, whether there are women who are asylum seekers who are incarcerated. We have this constant, constant challenge. We keep on saying to every organization that asks somebody to go and have an ICW representative there, please give us funds so we can bring somebody with us, so that we can mentor them and support them. And they always say, oh, sorry, we haven't got enough funds. Can you just send somebody? We also have huge problems, for instance, with visas. There's Anita Isaacs here who received an award yesterday. She's just about to go to Australia. She's been given the ticket. She's going to be given accommodation. Do you know what? She was fundraising yesterday evening for $120 to get an Australian visa. I mean, this is the kind of challenges that we're facing all of the time. ICW is desperate to strengthen and to widen the representation. But you can't just put someone on a plane and send them to a meeting and expect them to perform, because these meetings are highly stressful. You have to give that the right kind of training and support and mentoring first. Otherwise, it's not fair on that individual. And this is a huge, huge challenge for all of us. So we all of us need to put our heads together, because it's deeply painful for us that it's the same people coming to the table at the same time. So thank you, Nana. That's such an important question. We all of us need to go on really trying to find practical ways to come through that and strengthen that representation.
Okay, thank you very much. I've really been listening to the facilitators as they were just sharing. And my name is Susan Mwikali. I'm from Kenya. Maybe I just have a question, or maybe just a concern. From the different contributions I've been hearing from YWCA and ICW representatives, I'm just asking, maybe what component do you have for we women with disabilities? For instance, me, I'm a deaf woman. We also have other deaf women who are outside there, they are positive. Like NEFAC here in Kenya. Do you have just that space for us women with disabilities, whereby you can look at us like, women with special needs, again, apart from just us being women, we are disabled, some of us are positive. ICW, if I'm really interested in your activities, as you are fighting for our rights as positive women, can you maybe just find that space for us? Are you promising us that there is space for us to still live on positively and participate equally like other women? Maybe what have you done for us? Maybe with ICW and YWC, what has been there? Do you have any maybe forums where you brought together women with disabilities to participate in your activities? Or maybe could I just know, what do you have for us? Deaf women, blind women, or deaf women who are living positively? Because we are there and existing. Thank you.
Oh, this one is not reaching. Because they, no, but they are saying it's okay.
Hola.
Yeah,
they
are saying it's okay.
Okay.
This one is okay. This one
okay.
Is okay so,
Primero que todo, yo quisiera hablarle a la compañera, decirle que la audición es simplemente una dificultad, no es un problema, y que a partir de ICW tenemos las puertas abiertas para todas las mujeres que vivimos con VIH, porque creemos en la capacidad de todas, independientemente de si tienen una dificultad física o no. Las puertas de ICW son para todas las mujeres que vivimos con VIH. Ah, ok.
Ok, bueno.
¿Ahora? ¿Ahora? Bien. Voy a repetirlo para la compañera que no tenía los audífonos. Creemos en ICW que este es un movimiento para todas las mujeres que vivimos con VIH, independientemente de las dificultades físicas que tengamos. No creemos que el problema, que la audición sea un problema, es simplemente una dificultad como muchas otras que enfrentamos el resto de las mujeres que vivimos con VIH. Creemos firmemente en la capacidad y liderazgo y creemos que no hay fuerza más grande sobre la faz de la tierra que una mujer dispuesta. Tenga siempre presente que en ICW Latina y Mundial tiene las puertas abiertas. Acá en Kenia hay una líder que está acá en la mesa y que sabe que esto es una realidad, que a partir de ICW tiene un movimiento que le va a apoyar y que le va a ayudar a ser una líder más, como las que estamos acá y como muchas otras que ya no están porque han fallecido o porque, como decía nuestra compañera Alice, por problemas económicos no pueden estar presentes. Pero la fuerza interior que llevamos todas las mujeres es la que nos hace ser parte de ICW.
Thank you. My name is Phumzile from South Africa, and I have two questions. The first one is directed to Inviolata and Ruth. I'd like to hear how you have promoted equal sharing of knowledge and information between networks of women who are living with HIV and governments. Most of the time when they invite us, it's on their terms. Because we are committed to lobbying and advocacy, we use both invented and invited spaces, but we get the policies right at the end when they've already been approved in Parliament. So how have you done it in your countries? My second question is directed to Elizabeth. The issue of encouraging women to know their bodies. It's all very well for us to teach us on their sexual and reproductive rights, and do we create spaces where women are encouraged to explore and know their bodies? Thank you.
Hello, my name is Aida from Zambia, and my questions, I think, are directed to Alice. I think I want to find out the issues that the panel have brought up, and even the recommendations that you have made are going to make a reality on the ground. Because in some of our countries, like in my country, Zambia, ICW is not there. And YWCA is there, but I don't think there's much that's being done. I've been on the ground, and I've mobilized 2,000 women in support groups, and the issues that have come out, especially the issues that Inviolata has brought out, are the issues that the women are struggling with, their own treatment, but the challenges that they are facing in terms of other issues of violence or whatever. It's just a lot. I can't even describe. These issues have been coming out. But how then do we make these recommendations a reality? How are we going to make sure that what we've discussed here is going to work? What is the follow-up to what is coming out of this, the, what you are talking about? Thank you.
I'm sorry, because our time has really run out. I'm really sorry, because there is another group which is coming in. So this is the last question, and we are going to ask the panelists just to answer as quickly as possible so we wrap up. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Can I go ahead? May I go ahead? Okay, I want to answer very quickly quite a number of questions my colleagues have responded to, but I want to give you an organizational perspective and the Kenyan perspective. The South African lady asked about witchcraft and women being blamed for having bewitched their husbands. This is an African problem, but in many cases it's because of denial. We have not even accepted in the first place that there is HIV. And even when we tend to accept, it is just the power and gender issues that men have never allowed women to share. So in most cases, they use any excuse to want to deny women, particularly the inheritance of property. So for me, the relatives and men always use just the selfishness and greediness to take away what them husband and wife had made for this woman to suffer. And we need to stand up and say no to that. That's what I can say in short. ICW and NEFAC, with how do we ensure participation of our members? I want to let the girl who asked the question from USA that we are trying our level best to involve everybody in participating. If you were at the sexual reproductive rights session yesterday, there were 500 HIV positive women, and you can imagine, where did we get them? We are trying to mobilize, but we are always constrained with finances. All the women we work with, because of the relationship between poverty and HIV, are always poor. So unless we get partners to give us money to bring more women, it's normally very difficult to bring them together. I'm really happy to see Alice can fundraise for herself and come to this meeting. I want to assure you, Alice, I can never go to London or USA without being supported. I just don't have those funds. So at least if we have some women from the West who are able to do what Alice is doing, then we need to move away, we need to start moving towards that end. But in Africa, I think that is next to almost impossible. However, I want to say we are trying to be accountable. At one time, Alice was the chairperson of ICW. She recommended me to sit as an ICW representative on the World AIDS campaign representative. And after 2 years, I left it for somebody else. So we are not hanging on to things. We keep living. Right now, I'm not very active on ICW agendas, but I'm very active as a woman because we've been able to open other networks. And this empowerment came from ICW. I'm a member of ICW. So we are trying. If you look here, there is a representative of NEFAC in the region at the province who just became a representative in the last 1 month when we had the elections. Labera, could you stand? There she is, a young girl whom we are trying to mentor to take up our leaderships. And we are working forward towards moving on and our younger girls to pick up where we are. But you know, HIV has got to do with also stigma, and we can't force people to speak up if they are not ready to speak up. So it's a process. I want to assure you we are trying our level best in as much as we are holding our governments and stakeholders accountable. We believe it has to start with ourselves. And I'm notoriously known for that. We have to start with ourselves. Deaf and disability, NEFAC is too open to everybody. It's an organization for everybody. In fact, we are going out of our way to be asking every other time, UDPK, can you bring your members to participate in our activities? In the reproductive rights session yesterday, we called 10 of them, but only 4 of them came. What can we do about that? What responsibility do we have on that? You know, we are trying our level best to bring them on board. Sometimes we even go out of our way to force them in. So we want you to come and actively request for what we can do for you and what we can do together. How do we share with the governments and our networks? NEFAC, for example, is a national network. All the women you saw in that meeting yesterday, and those some of them who are here, came from all networks or organizations in this country, because it's a network of organizations. And I want also to say the UNAIDS has helped us in this country so much to promote multisectoral response and to promote greater involvement of people living with HIV and AIDS in all forums. So for example, oh, I'm very fast. I'm sorry, I'm worried about time, so I'm harassed with everything. So I'm saying the UNAIDS has promoted the multisectoral response in this country, and we've gotten our space. We sit on the country coordinating mechanism as a network, so our voices is heard. Our chairperson sits on the National AIDS Control Council, which is a multisectoral response. So we have reached at a point whereby now it is not to blame. It is us to show what we are made of. But this is the Kenyan experience. I don't know about other people's experiences. So we have been given the space, but it's now our responsibility to deliver and act on what we are expected to do. So anytime we have conferences as a national network, we have meetings, we always try to involve all organizations. If we don't, they always complain, and I can assure we are always in the defense. We are always harassed. Some of us sometimes develop high blood pressure because our membership is just too empowered and sometimes negatively empowered. ICWYC, yeah, not on the ground. Sometimes it's not easy to identify these major, major organizations. So what I can request that person who asked, start with the small organizations and start asking the governments and UNAIDS and the UN bodies, where are these other international organizations for women? For example, in Kenya, we knew more about ICW through Women Fighting AIDS in Kenya. So until you know of an organization locally which wants to identify itself with international organizations, it's difficult for local organizations to know that. So as you are here, please pick the details of ICW and see what you can start on the ground and get connected to ICW to become their members. Thank you.
And just to add to finally to what Imbiolata was saying, it would be wonderful if YWCA in Zambia could be supporting you. If you could get together with the YWCA Zambia delegates, and in all countries, if YWCA members here were to support and listen to the work and the recommendations of people like this lady here from Zambia, because there are so many positive women's networks in all the countries already doing amazing things and already knowing what they need to do. And if there were YWCA delegates here who were prepared to go home and sit down and discuss in detail how these partnerships could be developed to support the work that the positive women's networks are already doing, that would also be wonderful.
I'm going to cut you. We have to finish because we've taken a lot of time already. Thank you, ladies, for attending this session. Let's please give a big clap to our panelists here. Thank you.